Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely tremendous day today. And I had good news if you guys saw this over in Wisconsin. On a 4-3 decision, the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down Governor Tony Evers' administration mandatory stay-at-home order. The ruling said that essentially reopening the state, lifting caps on gathering, and allowing people to travel as they please, and allowing businesses to reopen is mandatory. Health Secretary Andrea Pommett issued the order, and the court found she did not have the authority to do so. Chief Justice Patient Raugensock wrote, "Rulemaking exists precisely to ensure that kind of controlling subjective judgment asserted by one elected official is not opposed in Wisconsin." Former governor Scott Walker praised the court's decision, said the rule of law must be held even in emergencies. "I am honored to have appointed the justices in the majority of all four of these individuals." And something that is just, you know, and this is important, guys. You got to take a step back and look at this for a second. In case anybody is wondering, the correct way for a constitutional republic to operate during a time of epidemic is A, keep people informed of the truth, seek for solutions, and this is a fact, they seek for solutions, absolutely, advise, and I repeat, advise the citizens how to move forward, not command, not dictate, not demand or, you know, command, not give them sanctions or arrest, then allow the free citizens to make well-informed decisions on their own free will. At least that's what some paper said in 1776. I saw that meme earlier today, and that's extremely true and unbelievably accurate to a T. It is not the government's responsibility to protect our health. It is the government's responsibility to protect and maintain our rights that we have already been given. That's what the government is there to do. And for some reason, you know, I've been getting blowback on some social media stuff and everything else where people, they're saying, you know, this, you know, it's for the greater good. You can't allow people to just run around and infect people. Well, here's the issue with that. Where is the line drawn? Yes, if people are unbelievably sick and they're running around, they shouldn't be doing that. But here's the kicker to that. I personally, I've gone all over the place for the last 2 months. I mean, you guys know I'm building a little house. I'm working all the time. I'm coming in contact with people all the time. If you're really sick and you have a 105-degree temperature and you're unbelievably ill, do you really feel like running around out and about and going to places and going shopping and buying stuff? Generally, you don't. I told you guys last year, whatever I got at the end of last year, last fall, was horrible. I assumed it was something like the flu, but it was something worse than I've ever had before. And I was sick for like 2 or 3 days. And my temperature got up at one point, got to 105. And, you know, I bounced back after a couple of days. I was kind of fatigued. I had a real bad cough, headache, and I don't know what I got. I didn't go to the doctor. I just absolutely hammered vitamin C and D3. Now, I have no idea if it was COVID or whatever it was. I don't know. But what I do know is I didn't feel like going anywhere. I laid in bed for like 2-3 days and drank water and took C and D3 and basically ate soup. So that being said, all these people that are running around saying people shouldn't be allowed to go out and about when they're sick, majority of people when they're really sick don't want to go out and about. That's the whole kicker with this. So the aspect and the ideology of saying you're being forced to stay at your home if you're sick. If you're already sick, you're probably already going to stay home when you're really sick. And as we already know, when they did the testing at the Tennessee State Penitentiary, I talked to you guys about the beginning of the week, over 53% of the populace in the Tennessee prison tested positive for COVID-19. And guess what? 99% of them were asymptomatic. They had no symptoms, but they tested positive. 6 of the individuals tested positive, went basically into the hospital, and one of the individuals died. He was 73 years old, which is a tragedy. But on the other hand, too, they never disclosed if he had any health issues, if he was diabetic, if he had COPD, if he had pancreatic issues. The list goes on the line. So what we're seeing is here, this virus that they're testing and allegedly people are coming down with, a large percentage of them are not being hospitalized. That's the kicker with the entire thing. And if they are being hospitalized, are they actually being hospitalized just because of COVID? Or are they actually being hospitalized because they have an impaired immune system because of some type of other chronic illness? Or the massive amount of GMOs with glyphosate, fluoride, and everything else we're exposed to on a regular basis? Just some food for thought, and I thought I would throw that out there this morning. But very, very glad the Wisconsin Supreme Court did this. I think this is going to start following suit with a lot of states now. As anybody that has half a brain, especially if they're in politics or the judicial system, they're starting to realize this is no longer about a virus, and it's more about taking control and the rights of the American populace. So far now that the New York Times even put out an article yesterday, if you guys saw this, this was quite troubling. It was a Wednesday column written by Kevin Roos, who's very popular on the New York Times, and the paper, they stated, was asked, what if we get a COVID-19 vaccine and half the country refuses to take it? They go on to say, first, because of the pandemic's urgency, a promising vaccine is likely to be fast-tracked. It may not go through years of clinical trials and studies. Essentially, though, it would create an opening for anti-vaccine activists to claim that this is untested and to spin concerns about the vaccine into widespread, unfounded fears about its safety. Now, wait a minute. He blatantly says the fast-track vaccine that may not go through the years of clinical trials. Okay, so we already know that vaccines, even when they are pushed through years of clinical trials, in most cases, when they go to market, they still have debilitating issues and injuries and sometimes death. So if we know this RNA vaccine, which, by the way, has never been approved by the FDA until now, that they've come out now, numerous people, including Dr. Judy Malkovich, have said this vaccine has never been shown to be effective, RNA vaccines, but yet they're fast-tracking it with Operation Warp Speed, pumping in billions of dollars into it, and now we're starting to see that Canada has now come out, though, and they said they are now, Canada is sending $790 million to an organization founded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that works with the WHO to make vaccines available across the world. This is exactly where these insane spending bills are being funneled. I talked to him about yesterday, and so did Dad. This new bill that Pelosi has brought forward, this $3 trillion spending bill, which, by the way, we already have trillions of dollars that the Treasury now has to handle just in the first quarter of the United States. And now we're talking about this massive spending bill where $1 trillion of this bill, $1 trillion, goes directly to local government authorities to essentially spend the money as they see fit on COVID-19 testing, security, vaccines, support, personnel, whatever they want. The problem that nobody wants to address is when you start talking about $1 trillion, that is an immense amount of money that there's no way these government agencies need anywhere near that. Because remember, they just got almost $1 trillion, like $800 or $900 billion in the last spending bill on top of their already bloated budget in January. So to keep saying that this money needs to keep funneling, and then you see what Canada's doing, it becomes very, very clear what the entire goal of this is. But again, kudos to Wisconsin Supreme Court. Very glad they did this. I hope a bunch of other states follow suit. Dad, what do you think?
Well, this again shows you the importance of who you put in these positions. I mean, the electorate has to be made aware of these people who they're voting, if they're appointed or if they're voting. I know in Florida we have the people who are voted for the Supreme Court. You've got to be made aware of who the clowns are we put in there. Because what ends up happening with any of these people that are put into position of power for an extended period of time, you know, if they change their attitude or if their real values start coming out after they've been in it for a few years, you can't get rid of them. This is the same problem they have in colleges with professors who basically get tenure. The professors can do anything they want to do. They don't have to teach the class anymore. They just run around. I remember last year my son Harrison told me that one of his professors was basically nuts. He's in law school, first-year student here at Florida State. And just finished his first year, starting, you know, his second year now. And he basically told me that one of the professors was sanctioned by the school because he did a strip tease in front of the class. Now, guys, I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, you can pretend like this doesn't happen, but this, I'm telling you, it's truth. He made a strip, he did a strip tease. He took all of his clothes off, got down to his underwear, and almost pulled his underwear off and stopped. I mean, in front of the class. You know, and what ended up happening is, finally, the school said, hey, look, you can't do that. You can't strip tease in front of the classroom. You can't go naked. And, but they couldn't fire him. You think, what the heck? He's strip teasing in front. He was standing behind a pillar in the classroom, you know, support column, threw his arms out beside it, started flailing his arms, and he yells at his yells at the class, I'm a tree! And then he flays on the table, rolls around on the table, then he's on the floor like he's swimming on the floor of the classroom. It was so ridiculous that my son took a video of him and texted to me. He said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. The guy's a loon. He's nuts. And, of course, he's a Harvard grad, super high IQ, super smart, probably really knows his class well. But he has tenure, and so they're stuck with him. That's why a lot of university systems, when they're outside of the state systems, they've stopped using tenure. They no longer give these professors the ability to strip in front of the classroom, act like they're a tree, swim on the floor, act like they're loony. I mean, it's just ridiculous what happens when you have a person in to a lifetime position if they go loon. Thank God that these Supreme Court guys up in Wisconsin, whoever puts them in, picks some good ones. And look at this stuff. You got Ginsburg. You got Ginsburg up in the Supreme Court who doesn't want to die. I mean, there's no telling how many, you know, it sounds weird. There's no telling what they've had to do to keep her going. Let me put it that way. She's got all kinds of cancers. And then you got that other one never mind, I'm not going to go there today. We got a bunch of fruit bags on the doggone Supreme Court of the United States, all right? And then we got Roberts, who has been said long that he's gay. And you know, now whether he is or not, I don't know. Don't really care. Okay, but there's something going on with him. I mean, you know, and so we can't get rid of Obamacare. I mean, this is just absolutely awful what's going on in the United States. Now, the fathers of our country, the founders, you know, they put together a legislative, a presidential executive, and a judiciary so that we have checks and balances in the system. What they weren't envisioning is that the entire system gets corrupted by international bankers who bribe people and who want to rely on child trafficking and weird stuff to get their agenda across, like what happened in Russia, which is now happening in the United States, when the entire system goes corrupt. That's what's happening now in the entire system. I mean, we have corruption from the local, the city, the state, the county, the federal, long-term people in office who basically have become multi-millionaires by being in politics on $35,000 and $40,000 a year salaries. I mean, that's not possible unless you're getting inside information, insider trading, where you're pushing agendas, where you're getting kickbacks. I'm just telling you straight. That's why term limits need to be there. We need to have continual term limits. I mean, if the Senate is basically 6 years, one term's long enough. If the House is 2 years, give them 3 terms. Give them 6 years. Maximum 6 years. In and out. Rotate. That way they don't stay in everybody's payrolls. I mean, even the President Roosevelt, the communist, you know, he hasn't ended it for multiple terms. They finally had to change the law to make it only 2 terms. I mean, we had all of this stuff. You give one person too much power, and they get to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, because they understand how to work their way through the system and manipulate, and for not lack of a better word, bribe people. And this is what happens. Now we got Donald Trump, who's basically absolutely, unbelievably mad at China. And because of this whole coronavirus thing, which the boys at Fort Detrick probably cooked up in a lab with the Mossad boys, blaming it all on China now. He goes, we could just cut off this whole relationship, quote, war of words between Trump and Beijing is heating up. Explaining that if it happened, the U.S. would save $500 billion a year. Well, we just like to give away trillions, so what difference does that make? And just cut off the whole relationship. At what point, and I've said this for years, and I said it about other countries, also NATO, I was able to get them to pay hundreds of billions more. Gosh, it's hard to read Trump. He speaks in such fragments. You know who is my biggest fan in the world? Secretary Stoltenberg, the head of NATO. Okay, trying to read Trump. Let's try it again. Let's see if I can fracture the sentences and fragment them. There are so many things we could do. We could cut off the whole relationship.
The U.S. would say $500 billion if you cut off the whole relationship. At what point, and I've said this for years, and I said it about other countries also, NATO, I was able to get them to pay hundreds of billions more. You know who is my biggest fan of the world? Secretary Stoltenberg, head of NATO. All right, if you guys can figure that out, good luck. That's our president. I don't know why he can't speak in complete sentences. I just really don't understand. He goes, phase one, the trade deal is as good as dead. And this goes on and on and on. Rather than trying to decipher this coded message he's putting out, maybe this is where the Q guy gets this stuff. He speaks in fragments and riddles. Maybe that's why he basically is also being linked so by so many Q people back to the White House. So strange to me. But good luck figuring it out. I've posted it on our website from Zero Hedge. It's called We Could Cut Off the Whole Relationship. War of Words between Trump and Beijing is heating up. That's just something I thought I'd mention to you this morning. So there we go. The world's largest shipper, by the way, is warning of collapsing volumes and dashes hope for a V-shaped recovery. AP Moller Maersk, world's largest container line, warned Wednesday that global trade will continue to falter with volumes declining by at least a quarter. Wow, 25% in 2020. Maersk dashed all hopes that V-shaped recovery would be seen in the back of half of the year, rather suggesting that a U-shaped recovery is more plausible. Guys, again, I mentioned it to you yesterday. I'm going to say just briefly. They're using the economy as a brake gas to reduce demand by cutting people's salaries down, shutting down mom-and-pop businesses. And once the unemployment checks run out at the end of May, the end of this month, if they don't extend them out again, we're going to have the real unemployment hit this summer without the people getting their $600 or $700 a week paychecks. It's going to be a real mess. So we need to pray this thing gets resolved quickly and that Trump steps up. You know, it's funny to me, Austin. He said he praises the Wisconsin Supreme Court because they're saying that the governor can't close the state. But Trump doesn't come on national TV and say, as far as we at the executive office and the federal government are concerned, this stay-at-home rule has been lifted. Now it is up to the governors to make this decision in the respective states. But we, the United States of America, me as the president of the United States, I want everybody going back to church, and I want this stuff stopped as quickly and as safely as possible. We don't hear that. But yet he sends this little tweet over, oh, the guys are great in Wisconsin, whatever. No, that, again, he's playing you. We're going to open up churches for Easter. No, he wasn't. He had no intentions on doing that. I told you when he told us that he wasn't going to do it. It's all a sight game with him. It's a mind game. He's reading the script. So now all of the Q people say and all of the Trump supporters say, see, he's opposed to it. Look, he's praising the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's saying how great they are. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not doing anything. He's not coming on national TV and saying, well, I want this stuff lifted. We're done. We're finished now. He's not doing that. It's absolutely ludicrous. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said. And I mean, that's literally all he would have to do is do a press conference and say, hey, I'm not taking any questions. I've already formally expressed my basically gratitude and my thanks to Wisconsin Supreme Court for upholding the Constitution of the United States. I am now declaring an executive order that we have lifted from the executive branch. We are no longer telling anyone to stay at home. If you want to do so, you can still do so. I still suggest, if people want, that they self-isolate, that people use sanitary guidelines, which is something you should always do. But other than that, we are not going to tell anybody that they are not allowed to open their business or not allowed to stay home. And then it would be up to the states and the governors to handle that accordingly. But it's exactly what I said earlier. The government's responsibility is not to protect the citizens' health. It is to protect and support our rights. The government is there to advise the citizens on how to move forward, not command, dictate, or demand. And that's the issue that people have to understand right now. It's not their responsibility, nor is it their right to tell us what we can and can't do as far as openly walking around. I mean, the other day I pulled out from the office, pulled out down on the street, and a guy pulled over, you know, in front of me, you know, he's pulling down the road, and he's in his car. It's like a new Corolla. Nice car, which, I mean, they have new, you know, air purification systems, AC systems. They're very clean. They have filters on them. He's driving his car with the windows up, with nobody in the car, wearing a mask. wide-eyed, looking like he's terrified to be driving around. Now, I have no idea what the background this guy was doing. I don't know where he's coming from. But just think about that for a second. You're in your vehicle with the windows up, and you're wearing an N95 respirator mask to drive around in. This shows you the level of fear that they have instilled in the general population. Now, I'm not saying if you're going to be going to a nursing home or you're going to be doing something or you feel like you are ill and you got to go out, that you shouldn't wear a mask. I'm not telling you that. If you choose to wear a mask, that's completely up to you. But I'm saying this guy looked fairly young. I mean, he looked like about my age, like mid-20s, 30 years old. And driving in his car by himself, this shows you how mind-twisted everybody has gotten now. And now, if CNN couldn't get any more fake news, they have now, this, I saw it today, and I started laughing. I mean, I started laughing. CNN now, they said, we are bringing on basically a town hall meeting. We are going to have the former CDC director, Richard Besser. We're going to have former HHS secretary, Kathleen Sebelius. And we are going to have activist Greta Thunberg to meet with Anderson Cooper in town hall. And I had to look at it for a second. I took a double take. And I went, what? They are literally bringing on a 16-year-old girl who, from my opinion, it looks like she has either mild autism or Asperger's from a lot of her behavior and her shaking and her speech. That's, again, my opinion. I'm not picking on her for that. But we're putting on a 16-year-old high school student that ranted and raved about global warming and told all of us basically we're all going to die if we don't stop doing something immediately this day, last year when she talked about it. We're all still here. The world hasn't blown up in global warming yet. There's still obviously climate issues that we need to address, but nothing that we need to take advice from a 16-year-old. And they're now basically deeming her essentially a top epidemiologist, a 16-year-old that rants and raves about global warming with zero credentials. Let me clarify that. Doesn't even have a high school diploma. Doesn't even much less have a bachelor's degree. God forbid she has a doctorate. No, a girl that's currently in high school, they're bringing on her as a top expert to discuss what's going on. And one individual, they made a comment. I had to repeat it. It says, Enoch Hayes says, amazing. The deranged Swedish teenager has morphed from being the world's top climatologist to being the world's top epidemiologist. What's next? Is she going to be the world's top rocket scientist? Oh, maybe the world's top genetic engineer. All right, while we're at it, she's the top world brain surgeon now that we need to bring on. And I just thought that it was so interesting is this is how desperate these guys are getting now at CNN, that now they're resorting to full-blown teenager fear psychop to bring a girl on there that now, and what she's going to do, I can already tell you before it happens, I can already tell you, she's going to get on there, she's going to rant and rave about how horrible America is, how bad it is that we won't cower in fear in our house and get under the bed with a mask on and refuse to leave our home, that we've even questioned the idea of a mandated vaccine, and how we all need to be ashamed of ourselves, and how everybody in the world's going to die if we don't lock everything back down globally and take a vaccine. In a nutshell, that's pretty much what she's going to come out with. But again, this is how the narrative plays. This is what they do. They try to base everything off fear and emotion. This is what's going on. And it goes on to say, again, like I said, activist Greta Thunberg with Anderson Cooper for a live CNN town hall, coronavirus, fact and fears, Thursday at 8 p.m. You can't make this stuff up anymore. I thought it was bad enough with Bill Gates, who has no background in this whatsoever, talking about how everybody needs to have a vaccine and how he's basically funneling hundreds of millions of dollars to speed a vaccine up and how the world and the country cannot open until a vaccine is presented. And I'm like, where's your background in this? You're demanding that the American populace completely grenade the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, because we have to do so because you deem it? Guys, wake up and see what's going on. If you can't see the fear porn that they're now trying to stoke by bringing in their last wild card, Gretchen Thunberg, for bringing in here now, I don't even know what to say anymore when I saw this. I just thought it was so insane. It literally took me for a loss of words before I started laughing. And then you have basically a video now that's come out in California, down in basically Fresno. A waffle shop opened up on Sunday and told patrons, hey, we have to have, you know, the tables 6 feet apart. You need to wear a mask, but you can still come in and eat. We're going to feed everybody. Come in. And people showed up. Of course, the Department of Health showed up and tried to make entry into the building. And the patrons said, no, you can't come in. You do not have a warrant. There's nothing you can do here. And they said, well, we're basically code enforcement. They said, okay, good for you. Code enforcement called law enforcement. Law enforcement showed up and tried to make entry into the building while people were blocking it, ran into the girl with a shoulder. You can watch on the video. I'm straight shoulder checked her right in the chest. As she goes, where is your search warrant? He goes, I don't need one. This is a national emergency. As another guy basically pulled his camera out, who's at Scrubs, I'm assuming he was basically from the hospital, he basically goes, you can't do this, bud. You are not allowed to come in here and start running into people and demanding that you shut the business down. And he said, make way. I'm coming through. And he basically, the guy stepped in front of him. He ran into the guy, grabbed his arm, handcuffed him, and arrested him for basically interfering with an official police investigation or whatever the charge was, and arrested him. And now the code health violation has now cited the owner of the Waffle House $5,000 for opening up without authority to do so. This has gone beyond nuts, guys. Here's the thing. If you want to go out and you want to go eat a restaurant, go out and eat a restaurant. If the store wants to maintain social distancing, let them do it. But to sit here and arrest people and fine businesses for opening up for people that want to go out and eat is beyond ludicrous. Again, support your local stores, be vocal, get this information out there, speak your mind about what's really going on, guys, because too many people are scared because of fear of reprisals, I told you guys before, because the mainstream media and a lot of these hardcore leftists are getting on social media, and they're just absolutely eviscerating people for wanting to stand up for the rights. This is a psych-op. Let me explain to you. They're intentionally making individuals that want to stand up for their rights and want their freedoms maintained to be hardcore right-wing extremists that basically are nutbags and lunatics that want everybody to die from coronavirus. That's what they're implying. That's why they're putting these articles out with New York Times. That's why they're bringing the 16-year-old on the town hall. They're doing it to try to do a full-blown last-ditch psych-op on the American populace to try to get control of them. Because the problem is they realize this whole thing is about to spiral out of control aggressively over the summer. Once things heat up, and I mean that literally, once the temperature gets hot and people want to go outside, because, you know, a lot of states, they've been cold. I mean, I think, you know, I talked to Doug the other day. He said it like snowed a couple weeks ago. Once it gets hot and people want to go outside in the northern states, that's why Florida's had like zero compliance down here. It's hot. It's like 90 degrees outside. We're doing stuff. We're going to the beach. We're running around. And guess what? The Polk County cases, they said the Polk County cases of COVID-19 now are to 653. Over 2.5 months, that's where our cases are, with a population of over 804,000 people in this county. That's it. Wake up and see what's going on, guys. Use your brain. Remember, free men don't ask permission. Slaves ask for permission. You don't have to ask permission to travel freely on your way. They're pushing you to try to force you to get to that point, to make you believe you have to ask permission to travel freely and to go to places. You do not have to get consent from the government, the governor, law enforcement, the mayor, anybody to travel freely. They do not own you. Slaves ask their master permission if they can travel. Peasants ask their king if they can travel. Free men do not have to ask permission to travel. I want to get that very clear, Dad.
It's so crazy to me, Austin, that, you know, this Greta Thunberg shows up again. I mean, the lady, the girl, she's a teenage little brat's what she is. And of course, I'm sorry she has Asperger's syndrome, but I mean, she can't be held for the model. You know, the problem we have here is we're dealing with a morally bankrupt society, the entire planet, because of what the bankers have done and the Sabbateans. And we have a morally bankrupt society. It doesn't see the value of having a relationship with the Most High, with the Great I Am. It doesn't see the value in having a relationship with Jesus. It's almost like these bankers are sitting around a campfire and the planet's burning behind them, okay? And everything's going to hell. And the entire world is now engulfed in fire. And they're sitting there in their little enclave by a cave, and they've got a little campfire going on the inside. They're sitting around, they're talking, and they're saying something like, yes, this planet was destroyed, and yes, we did it. But for a beautiful moment in time, we created a lot of value for our shareholders. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is how they look at things. It's about greed. Remember, Jesus told us the love of money is the root of all evil. And the problem is they've already got the money. I mean, now they're saying that Jeff Bezos, Rothschild cutout, is about to be a trillionaire, thousand billions, trillionaire. Of course, the Rothschilds have been trillionaires for decades, hundreds of years, trillionaires. You know, but of course, they don't talk about what their net worth is. The people who have these net worths in the trillions, they're not put on any list. In fact, they tell the people who put the list together, you don't put me on the list or things are going to happen. We don't want people to know about us. We like to operate in the shadows. But what we have to look at it. In fact, it's interesting. Charles Smith wrote an article that says what the pandemic has revealed, and that's a morally bankrupt culture. And I'm going to read a couple of these things he says. He goes, what was normal for the past two decades was to turn a blind eye to the moral and financial bankruptcy of the American culture, the rot at the heart of its social, political, and economic orders. The pandemic has shredded the putrid facade and revealed the rot, which to the dismay of the multitude of minions tasked with sanitizing the rot behind the narratives by promoting the normalization of predation, fraud, and exploitation. He's right. And what's absolutely forbidden or forbidden is to call legalized pillage and predation to be a predator what they really are, evil. You can't call it evil. By stripping the fraud and predation of moral consequence, we've converted and covered the putrid rot with thoroughly modern morality. In other words, no one's moral anymore. And see, and this is the thing. You know, for years and years and years, we had a clinic here in Central Florida. I'd see up to 40 patients a day, and I would work with them, help them lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar levels, you know, body fat, that kind of stuff. And they would come to me, and they would talk to me about losing weight or some other health issue. And so in my personal life, I've always been someone who was willing to help other people get in shape. I was a personal trainer, for heaven's sakes, back in high school. I'm talking back in the early 70s, like 70, 71, 72, 73. I mean, I was actually working at a gym as a personal trainer. I mean, I was doing all of these things going through school. And while I was in college, I continued to do it. And nowadays, if you try to help somebody, if you say something to them, you know, even if they're your friend, they want to come back with you and tell you that now you're fat shaming them. I don't know how to respond to this, Austin, because, you know, as a professional, I don't try to shame anybody. But if you say to them, you're eating 12,000 calories a day, okay, you're 300 pounds overweight, you should weigh 150, you weigh, you know, 450, you can barely walk, you know, you're going to have all kinds of joint issues, heart issues, lung issues, you're going to have arthritis, you're going to have all kinds of stuff because of carrying the weight. Don't say that to me, you're fat shaming me. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to say? Tell me that you love me and you support me. Okay, I love you and I support you, but you need to lose some weight. No, you did it again, you fat shamed me. And I'm like, if I don't love you and I don't support you, then I'm not going to tell you the truth about what you need to do. What do you mean you're shaming me again? No. If I see the hotel is on fire and we need to go to the fire escape and your door is locked and you're asleep and you're not waking up, I'm going to kick the door in and I'm going to drag you down the stairwell, and I guess I'm going to awake shame you because I had to wake you up. It's time for this stuff to stop, guys. Now, I'm not talking about teasing people in public and being mean to them in public and putting them down in public because they need to lose a few pounds. I'm not talking about that. But if you're having a private conversation with someone who you love and who you care about, even maybe a family member, you say, hey, look, do you really need to do that? Do you really need to do this? Like, you know, every once in a while, I'll let my weight fluctuate 4 or 5 pounds or whatever. And Sharon will say something to me like, hey, Ted, do you really want to do that as far as eating that? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to do that. She's not fat shaming me. She's helping me. The same thing. If I know something's going to cause inflammation in her, like, you know, ice cream or whatever with sugar, you know, organic, of course, but still has sugar. And I say, Sharon, do you really want to do that? Because your joints may start talking to you. She goes, you're right, Ted. I'm not going to do it. That's not shaming her because she's an ice cream eater. You shame me. You fat shame me because I'm an ice cream eater. No, I'm not doing that. I'm letting you know there's certain foods cause certain health issues, and I'm not trying to shame anybody. But that's the politically correct culture that we live in, the immoral culture. You can't say these people are involved. You have all these dual citizens from other countries. You can't say that. That's racist. You have dual citizens from other countries that are in Congress and running our United States of America. No, you can't say that. You're saying that. You're race-shaming them. You're nationality-shaming them. No, I'm pointing out a fact that we don't really need people from other countries in our legislature running our country. You can't say that. And this is what we find ourselves, Austin. We have found ourselves in a situation where pastors have become so muzzled that they become useless as spiritual leaders. They can't tell a person who's gay anymore, you're gay shaming them. No, I just, it's hate speech. No, I want to read what the Bible says. No, you can't. But the Bible says not to do that. It doesn't matter. You're hate speech. You're going to be arrested now. And this is where we have found ourselves. But the bankers, because they control these legislators, we need another multi-trillion dollar bailout. You guys are really corrupt. You can't say that. It's hate speech. And so this is where we have found ourselves, to a point of the lunacy. Go at home, hide under your bed. I like your analogy, Austin. Go to bed. Go to your room. Don't get in bed. Crawl under your bed. Cower in the corner. Put a mask on and pray and pretend like you're not really there. That's what we want you to do. And you're like, but I don't want to get under the bed with a mask on. Well, do it. No. Well, how about this? We want you to get in your car, put recirculate on, put on a mask and put on goggles and put on gloves and put on a surgical gown and drive around and act like a weirdo. Okay, we'll do that now. Where does it stop, guys? I've seen it. I saw one lady dressed like that the other day at the doggone gas pumps. I'm like, what the heck? Where do we say no? And that's the thing. All Donald Trump has to do, I'm signing an executive order today, lifting all federal government stays. Here's the problem he's got himself into. And I'm sure he was set up this way on purpose. He's got a national emergency in all 50 states now, which is the first time this has ever happened. And I kind of think that he kind of doesn't have a whole lot of say-so in what's happening right now. I kind of think that he's turned into just a kind of an impotent, you know, person who basically is in a position of authority but with no power right now. Now, has he ever had any power? Probably not. We still got Obamacare. Does he ever have the ability to get rid of all the stuff he promises and promises about? Probably not. Will Biden be better? Absolutely not. Biden will be worse. He's senile. Now people are saying that Kubo may try to take the election from Biden, or Hillary may try to take the election from Biden, or that really macho guy, Michelle Obama. Man, that girl's got some arms on her. Oh, I'm sorry, that guy's got some arms on her trying to be a girl. All of this thing is, guys, is a big farce. It's a clown show, like we said last year. It's a circus clown show in D.C., and they try to entertain you with their rhetoric and their three-ring circus. Austin, what do you think?
No, that's exactly what it's turned into now. And, I mean, if you guys have seen the level of restrictions and the level of invasion of our privacy so far, it's just warming up. If you guys saw 2 days ago, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, Democrat, of course, laid out his plans now for the contact tracing initiative. Now, I've had people say, "Oh, the contact tracing, they're not gonna monitor everybody." Guys, why don't you actually read what these apps are doing? If you don't believe me, read them for yourself. I've had people say, "So they're just gonna make sure if people come in contact, people are notified." I said, "Oh, really? So they're gonna have the government monitor everything you do, everywhere you go, every phone and person you come in contact with, and let you know if somebody gets sick, but they're not going to use that for anything. They're not going to monitor that with anything." Every single country that has put this into place so far has massively abused this, if you guys haven't noticed that yet. And what's crazy is we're now going to have an automated contact tracing app for COVID-19 that are backed by national governments, but none for pedophiles or rapists. I saw it the other day, and it kind of made me think, wow. And people go, "Oh, no. They do. If you move into a neighborhood, they notify you. That's basically a sex offender." And you're absolutely right. They do. They let you know this is the person's address, this is where they live. But they have never, in the history of the United States, put a nationally backed government app out that monitors everywhere you go and gives you a COVID-19 threat assessment score and telling you you've been exposed to too many people. You now are red listed. You have to go home and quarantine for 14 days. Or you tested positive and you go, "I'm asymptomatic. I have no symptoms. I may have tested positive, but a lot of people test positive. That doesn't mean anything." They're starting to show now, and remember, there's been multiple people that have talked about this now, including David Icke brought that up, that what they're testing for isn't exactly the virus. What they're testing for is basically a DNA sample that comes out, and the problem is a lot of people can have it continually, and they are not sick. Why? Because the COVID-19 has so much manipulated theory behind it on what they're actually talking about with testing it. Now, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee, back to what I was saying, he now is saying during his press conference, if you basically are tested positive, you're not going to be able to leave your home. We're going to make sure you stay home. The question was in the press conference, where the reporters came out, what about enforcement? If somebody tests positive and you've identified them with a contact tracing app, what are you going to do? The question came out and it said, when it comes to contact tracing, this reporter said, when it comes to contact tracing, how are you guys going to handle people or families who want to refuse to test or to self-isolate? If they want to leave their home to get groceries, I know you said they can do that. How will you make sure they don't? And this is the response that he said. This is what Governor Jay Inslee said. We will have attached to the families a family support personnel who will check in with them and see what they need on a daily basis. If they can't get a friend to do their grocery shopping, we will help them get groceries in some fashion. If they need pharmaceuticals, we will have them picked up. We will make sure and encourage them to maintain their isolation. As far as refusal, well, it just shouldn't come to that. We've had really good success when we ask people to isolate, and they've done so in really high percentages, so we're happy with that. Wait, what? Didn't answer the question, guys. Didn't answer the question. What happens if somebody refuses to take a test is what the reporter said. Right here, I'll report it. Again, I'll repeat it. When it comes to contact tracing, how are you guys going to handle people or families who refuse to test or self-isolate? That was the question from the reporter. Governor Jay didn't even respond to that. He completely sidestepped it and said, well, as far as refusal, well, it just shouldn't come to that. What happens if it does come to that, Governor? What's going to be the next step? Were you going to put law enforcement personnel outside of their property, outside of their door, basically with an off-duty detail? You're going to say, hey, well, man, what is all this money going for to all these governors, huh? That's interesting. What is all this money going into these local, basically, municipalities? The $1 trillion next bill that Pelosi wants to put through. What are they planning on doing? How are they planning on enforcing this? He's literally saying if you do not take a test or if you test positive, you are going to be told to self-isolate and you cannot go buy groceries. They are going to basically deem somebody a handler for you, a family support personnel to help you out if you can't get family to help you out. Well, guys, I think it's pretty clear now that this isn't going to stop with this. They've taken it another step and another step and another step. And it's clear now the next step will be when you refuse to take a vaccine when it's brought out and mandated. And you will not be allowed to leave your home until you take the vaccine. That's where this is going. Get this information out there. I keep repeating myself. I'm doing that on purpose. Spread the truth and wake other people up. There are so many people out there right now that are getting this information out there, that are forwarding these shows, that are, heck, even just forwarding the articles. Just get the information out there. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you have to do as far as legally. I mean that from a legal standpoint. Make sure you're not breaking the law. Remember, a unjust, unconstitutional edict is not law. Just because a governor comes in and says, you cannot leave your house now unless you're tested, there's no law to that, guys. There's no constitutional basis to that. That is unjust authority. That contradicts the Constitution of the United States, meaning it's null and void. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the populace believe that they have more power than they do. They work for us. They were elected for us, for a government by the people. Remember that next time you hear this stuff and when you start hearing people talk about, well, this is what they said you have to do. Well, if they tell you you got to get, you know, castrated, are you going to do that too? If they tell you you're going to have to go over like China does, they did with their one-child-only policy, and you got to execute if you have more than one child, you going to do that too? Where's the line drawn with this? That's the question that people need to be asking themselves, Dad. And that's a very, very specific question, especially when they start saying mandated vaccines. What are you going to do in that situation if they start saying that, Dad?
Well, here's the thing, Austin, and this is it goes right back to this. Know your local sheriff. Find out what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. See, they can make a criminal out of you very easily for failure to comply with an LEO, law enforcement officer. That's a misdemeanor charge that's punishable up to 1 year in jail just for not listening to them. So you got yourself in a quandary here. You know, years ago, I went through a seatbelt check. Some guy was hiding in the corner, and I was wearing a seatbelt, and apparently he waved at me. I didn't see him, and I was in a car that was sitting real low and a bunch of trucks around me, and I stopped off at the local car dealership to get my car washed, and I'm sitting there waiting for my car to get done, and five police cars pull up. I'm not exaggerating. Five. Officers jumped out and said, who's driving such and such a car? I said, that's me. It's getting washed. And they said, you're under arrest. And I'm like, what did I do? You failed to stop at a seatbelt check. And I said, where were you? Did you have lights on? No. Did you have stanchions up? No. Were you rerouting traffic? No. And I said, where were you? Were you hiding in the bushes behind a tree? Where were you? You are under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Been there, done that, bought that T-shirt. Before that was over with, three of the five guys involved with that were fired. And the charges were dismissed. But let me tell you something. It was pricey as far as the attorney that I hired. And this is the problem that you run into. If you don't listen to them and you fail to obey a police officer or a fire department official, they can arrest you and charge you with a misdemeanor because that becomes the statute. Now, what they're telling you doesn't necessarily have to be a law. It all depends on the discretion of the officer. If they say to you, you can't videotape me, and you say, well, what law is that? I'm telling you not to videotape me. Now you're under arrest for failure to obey an LEO. Now you think, well, that'll never stick. No, it probably won't, and it probably will be dismissed just like mine was dismissed. But I'm going to let you know something. It will cost you. It will cost you time and aggravation and money, and you have to deal with it. That's why it's important to educate police officers. It starts like the guy up in Seattle who said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to enforce something that's not a law. You have to get a grassroots movement so these police know that it's not okay to make up stuff and to make people criminals because they want to have a business open, to make a person a criminal because they want to cut hair. You know, with that old barber now who was 77 years old who went back to work for the militia. Now they've rescinded his license. He can't even work anymore because he's no longer his license. They went around it that way. So now if he works that, he's cutting hair without a license, and now he goes to jail. This is the kind of nonsense they pull. So that's why it's important to know who you're putting in power. Who is your sheriff? What does your sheriff believe in? What does that mean to you? And is that okay? Here where we live in Polk County, we got a great sheriff. He's great.
these guys are leaving us alone. I mean, they're not even giving speeding tickets or anything anymore. It's like living and driving on the Autobahn with these people the way they are around here. And guess what? There aren't any accidents. I mean, it's really kind of nice. Just be careful. Use discretion to make sure you're careful, especially in neighborhoods when you have children and other people running around. Be really, really careful because kids run out in the street. I mean, Boston knows when I drive like into a neighborhood with kids, I like crawl. When I pull into my own backyard, yeah, I like stop and look to find out where the grandkids are. And if I can't see them, I kind of like stop, put it in park, and shut the motor off until I find out where everybody is. Don't drive like a maniac. But be nice. It's nice when the cops don't charge you because you're 4 miles an hour over the speed limit. I remember a few months ago, Austin got ticketed for doing 6 miles an hour. He was doing 41 and a 35. Got a ticket. Got a ticket. That's ridiculous. If you're, as long as you're driving safely, and in my opinion, it's ridiculous. Now, if you're driving, if it's 35-mile speed limit, you're doing 70 miles an hour or even 55 or 60, well, you need to slow down. If not, you probably need to be sanctioned for that. But you don't have to do that when there's no harm being done. That's just my opinion on all that. By the way, NBC News now has come out with something. It says Israel is considering shutting, NBC News, shutting down Evangelical Christian God's TV channel. They couldn't ignore it. It made national news. Israel is considering shutting down the Evangelical Christian TV channel from its airwaves, saying it seeks to persuade Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. All right. That's trying to tell them the truth. Our examination shows that this is a channel that seeks to appeal to Jews with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right, too. So I'm still trying to find out something they're doing wrong. It's historic, it is supernatural, and it's prophetic, he said in the video. There are 9 million people in Israel who need to hear about the Jesus. That's true. I'm still trying to find something to do it wrong. God TV described itself as pro-Israel and said its broadcast to be approximately 300 million people around the home. It's true. God TV is pretty big. The broadcaster said Wednesday that she Lanu managers had been surprised to learn the council was considering terminating the two-week-old channel. 2 weeks, but 2 weeks. It said God TV had never seen the application made by the hot cable to a broadcasting council. We believe that this is a serious threat to the freedom of expression in our pluralistic democratic society, said Avi Mishasi, a Shilano board member. So they're making all kinds of claims that this is basically really, really bad that they're talking about Jesus. And it says in the United States, evangelical Christians are also an important part of President Donald Trump's base, and their vocal commitment to Israel has often been cited as the motivating factor in his full-throated support of President Benjamin Netanyahu's government. Now, they're saying this. They're telling you straight up here. You guys need to read this. Since assuming office, Trump has moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Syrian Golan Heights. Why? He had any right to do that. And call up the so-called Middle East peace plan that has been rejected by Palestinians as unworkable. That was the Kabbalist Kushner's deal. The Trump administration has said it believes the plan meets both Israeli and Palestinian fundamental demands. It does not. And it goes on and on and on. Because proselytizing or trying to convert people who are Jewish to Christianity goes against what the state is there to do, which is to protect Jewish identity, he said. You know, imagine if we did that in our country. We protected American identity. I'm actually okay with that statement. But proselytizing should be freedom of speech. But we should be protecting the people in America, too. Then he goes on to say there is always been an uncomfortable marriage between Israel and evangelical Christian groups who support Israel but can also seek to convert Jews, Stephen said. Now here's his final quote. Here we go. Get ready. Be Christian, fine. Go visit the holy places, fine. Support Israel, fine. But do not go around trying to convert people. That's always a red line. That's always a red line, he said. Oh, so that means we can go ahead, spend money to fly to Israel, fly on Israeli airlines, stay in Israeli hotels, buy from Israeli vendors, pay Israeli taxis, pay Israeli tour guides, go visit the holy places, give Israel money for their temple fund, but don't convert people to Jesus Christ. That's the red line. I can't say it any better than that. What the heck are we doing supporting this country to start with? Number one homosexual destination in the world. Homosexual parade with 250,000 people in attendance. 17 homosexual parades through Old Jerusalem where Jesus walked on the Via Dolorosa. And we're giving them money hand over fist as they support a one world government, Noahide laws. I mean, number one homosexual destination in the world, let me repeat myself, and unbelievably liberal, full-term abortions, everything. And yet we pour the money, pour the money, pour the money, but yet when we want to talk to them about Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, we can't do that. Or you're put in jail for proselytizing, which, by the way, is another little thing they like to do. Where do we draw the line? When do we say, we'll pray for Israel? I pray God's best for Israel. But why are we supporting them financially? Why are we giving them money? Why are we giving them tens of billions of dollars a year in financial aid? They're basically a communist country. Why are we involved with them like this? Oh, I've got the answer. Scofield Bible. Scofield Bible commentary. Yeah, brought it all back together through Zionism. But we've got a bunch of shows on that. I won't start there today. But guys, you remember this, and this is so important. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We commit our plans unto the Lord, they will succeed. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. For I am a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, and I'm in love with the Most High God, and I love Jesus Christ, and my heart beats for God Almighty, the great I am. I appreciate you guys. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. And one last health article I want to get to. I'm going to touch base on it more tomorrow, and I will post it on the website right now. Again, another article on D3 from an accredited university. Trinity College Dublin has now done a full-blown research study. A publication just got released 2 days ago. And basically what it does is it says vitamin D determines severity in COVID-19, so government advice needs to change. Imagine that. Imagine that. D3 determines severity of COVID-19. They go on to say later on in the article, it says this study further confirms the association. We call on the Irish government to update guidelines on the matter of urgency and encourage all adults to take supplementation D3 during the COVID-19 crisis. Here we see observational evidence of a link to D3 with mortality. Optimizing vitamin D intake to public health guidelines will certainly have benefits for overall health and support immune function. Guys, we talk about it every week, but now finally we're starting to see some mainstream medical talk about this in relation to the immune system and how important D3 is. So I'm going to put this article's research article up on the website. I have a link to it as well. To the actual full article, if you want to go look at it, please keep yourself healthy. Be sure to vote for the product of the week, whatever you want. There's a bunch of them on there. The Super Potent E, our mixed tocopherol vitamin E, one that's on sale right now for over 10% off. Keep yourself healthy. Keep your families healthy, because I promise you, if you stay healthy, you stay strong, you stay active, and you have Jesus Christ behind you, there's nothing that we can't do, and we can make a difference. I promise you guys that, because we have to expose what's going on. And the best way to do that is to stay awake, stay active, and stay healthy, and get this information out there. Thank you again for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.